Those songs do go very well with our text this morning. We turn into John 11 and we'll see. I want to begin just reading a few verses and make just a few comments, and then we'll get into the message. But it says in verse 1, John 11, 1, "Now a certain man was sick." We know when the scriptures speak of certain people, it's talking about God's elect, those he chose, those he's everlastingly loved, and this is no exception. This is Lazarus. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." You know, that's the only person in the scripture that the Lord said she's wrought a good work. The only person, Mary. He said she wrought a good work on me. She brought that alabaster box of ointment, broke it on his head and anointed him for burial. That's just her brother Lazarus that was sick. And it says, "Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." That's a very good petition, because you notice they didn't say, "He who loves you are sick, is sick." There's no doubt God's people love the Lord by his grace, but this is a better petition. "Him whom you love, Lord, is sick." That would move you more if somebody came to you and said, "The child you love is sick," wouldn't it? That move you toward them. We petition him based on his love. Verse 4, "And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." That's similar to what he said of that blind man that was born blind. This is that I might work the works of God, that I might be glorified. And that's what's taking place here. Whatever he does for his people, from the first to the last, is for that reason right there. It's for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Mark it down. Everything that comes to pass in a believer's life is for that reason right there. Good, bad, whether we understand it or we don't understand it, it's all for that reason right there. Every bit of it. Now, catch this next verse. "Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." He loved them. The Lord loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. "And when he heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick," because he loved them, he didn't go to them. He stayed where he was for 2 days. He waited till Lazarus died because he loved them. I want to preach on the subject of reasons Christ waits. Now, the truth of the matter is, with our Lord, there are no delays. There are no delays with him. Our Lord does all things at his predestinated, foreordained time. Everything that he predestinated, he determined before, he foreordained, he brings it to pass at the exact precise time. He is sovereign God in control of everything. He said, "Not even a hair falls off your head without my consent. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without him knowing it." Everything is done by his hand, and it's done exactly at the time that he determined it to be done. That's why we keep reading. They could not lay hands on him or touch him, because his time was not yet come. Not till the time was come. But our Lord makes it appear to us that he waits. He makes it appear to us that he's waiting. And it is to us him waiting. He waits sometimes, just like he waited here. But he does it because he loves us. He does it because he loves us. He does it that he might bring glory to himself, glory to the Father, and work good for his children. That's why he's doing it. Because he loved them, therefore, when he heard he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. He didn't go. He stayed 2 days, waited, because he loved them. Waited till he died. Now let's look at some things here that our Lord does by waiting and why he does this. We just sing 3 good songs that talk about our Lord leading us. And these are things he's going to do as he leads us. And we see here why he does it. Why he does it. Now he told us right off the bat, this is for his glory, that he might work some works here to give himself glory. And that's what he's doing for us. Now, first of all, by waiting, the Lord teaches us to deny ourselves. He teaches us to submit to him, to his will, to deny ourselves. It's going to involve suffering. It's going to involve suffering. And he's teaching us to deny ourselves, to wait on him, to submit to him. In like manner, as he laid down his life for the Father in place of his people, submitting to the Father's will for his people. Remember when Paul said his desire was to be made conformable to Christ's death. Well, Christ is going to, he's going to conform us to him in submission to his will, even when it means suffering. In fact, he's going to bring us into suffering, just like he did with them right here, that you cannot end. You just can't end it. It's like having a sore, a broke bone that you just wish it would be well, and there's no way to make it well. You just have to suffer through it so that there's no other choice you have but to submit to his will and his time. That's how he's going to teach us to deny ourselves. And really, he has to work this to make us deny ourselves, because we don't like to suffer. Nobody likes to suffer. If you get out of it, you would. But he'll bring you where you can't. Now watch this. Let's see how we see this. Verse 7. Then after that, he saith he to his disciples, let's go into Judea again. Now that's where we just saw him come from in John chapter 10, where they wanted to kill him. They picked up stones to kill him multiple times. And his disciples heard this, and they said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou there again? You going to go back there? They just try to kill you. You see, the trial's never just for the Mary and the Martha and the Lazarus to suffer in the immediate brunt of it. It's not just only for them. He teaches his other disciples here too. Teaching them too. He's teaching all his people. This is how wise our Lord is. He's teaching all his people together. And so they hear this and they say, Lord, that was not wise to them. Now get this. The Pharisees, we saw earlier in the first hour how the Pharisees stood there and picked up stone wanting to kill God himself. This is not a whole lot better. This is his people saying to wisdom himself, Lord, that don't sound too wise. But who's being taught wisdom here? Not him, but them. Now watch what he does. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? And if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. There's no light in him. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem. That's where the Pharisees lived that wanted to kill him. And our Lord knew full well. He knew. Our Lord knew that what he was about to do was about to be a very public act that was unlike anything he had done. He's about to call a man out of the grave that's been dead 4 days. And this is going to be it. This is going to be all that the Pharisees can stand when he does this. And our Lord knows this. Go over to John 11 and verse 46 and look. after all this was done, here's what happened. And our Lord knew this was going to happen. Some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. And if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation." That's what they were worried about right there. If we leave him alone, men are going to believe on him, and we're going to lose our place and our nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." That's the gospel of substitution. He didn't intend to preach that, but he preached the gospel of substitution. Christ died in the place of his people so that, rather than his people perishing, that one holy nation God calls his holy priesthood, that's who Christ died for, that rather than they perish. "And this spake he not of himself, but being a high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that I also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad, his elect Jew and Gentile. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." The Lord knew this. He knew this was going to be the case. His disciples thought something like this was going to happen too. And that's why they didn't want to go there. They didn't want to go there. They didn't want to suffer. They didn't want to suffer. Now, we can put ourselves in that shoe, in those shoes. You know, there's a lot of God's providence that if we knew ahead of time, we'd go a different way. But the Lord, he knew, and he had to go there, and he knew this was going to cause them to come seeking his life. But he was laying down his life to fulfill the Father's will. He was submitting himself to the Father's will. He was obeying the Father. His whole life was one continual submission to the will of his Father. And that's what he's doing here. And that's what he was declaring here. He's walking in the day. He's walking in the light. He's walking in the will of his Father. His coming down from glory to take flesh and dwell among us was him walking in the day. That was him obeying the Father. Him going about doing all the works of the Father in this earth, doing the will of the Father. That was him submitting to the Father to work out a righteousness for his people. Him laying down his life and going to that cross and giving them permission to nail him to the cursed tree and that he might bear the wrath of God in place of his people. That's him walking in the day doing the will of the Father. And he said, as long as a man is doing the will of the Father, there's no fear of him stumbling. No fear of him stumbling. But see, the disciples here, in just this little instance of them saying, that's not a good place to go, they want to kill you. That's an example of me and you walking in the night, stumbling. They're stumbling. And this is where we are a lot of the time, just stumbling. And so the Lord puts us in a situation where we're going to have to submit and suffer with him. And we don't have a choice. And that's what our Lord told them here. The Lord brings us into these difficulties and teaches us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to submit to his will, to wait on Christ to work in his time. And by this, we're learning. We're learning that it's always better to wait on him, to submit to him, to follow him. He said, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it." And we try to save our life, we're going to lose it. "But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake," Christ said, "and for the gospel's, the same shall save it." And Thomas got it. Thomas got it. Lord always succeeds in getting the lesson to his people. Verse 16, it said, "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him." That's, you might think that's sarcastic, and maybe he meant it that way, but he was resolved to it and said, let's go with him. If he dies, we're going to die with him. And this is what the Lord brings you to that place. If he slays me, yet I'm going to trust him. His way's the best way. Lord, be thou my vision. Lead me in the right way. And this is what he's going to do for his people. So he brings us into situation like he brought his disciples in, and he waits to teach us to submit to him and trust him and wait on his time. Now, let me show you the second thing here. By waiting, the Lord makes us believe His word that He is the resurrection and the life. That He really and truly is our life. That's what it means. He's the resurrection and the life. It means He's our life. He really is. Verse 14, then said Jesus to them plainly. Well, now, let me just fill in here a little bit. He had said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. That's all death is for a believer, is sleep. But they didn't understand. They said, well, it's a good thing if he sleeps then. Let's don't go get in danger if he's just sleeping. But our Lord said to them plainly in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. I'm glad for your sakes I was not there, Christ said, to the intent you may believe. See, he's going to have to work things for us in such a way that makes us believe him, makes us trust him. And that's what he said. I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad he died so that you might believe. Nevertheless, let's go unto him. He said something like that to Mary and Martha. Look down at verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Now, he is God. She's talking like God's going to give it to you. Now listen to what he said. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. This is us right here. We have our doctrine, and we think we know, and we think we have it, understood, and we're quick to say what we know when we don't know, really. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Resurrection's not a day, Martha. The Sabbath's not a day. Christ is our rest. Christ is resurrection. He is the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, those that believe on him live right now. They have eternal life now. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Look at verse 32. And then here comes Mary. And she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. All three of them, you get there? The disciples said, well, it's better just leave him alone, let him sleep. He said, he's dead. I'm glad he's dead so you can believe me. Martha comes out to him. Well, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. I know he'll raise in the resurrection day. Martha, I'm the resurrection. Believe me. Now here comes Mary. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Don't you know that our Lord, when he walked this earth, was just constantly groaning in himself and troubled? Because this is just flat out unbelief is really all it is. Everywhere he's faced, there he is working the works. No reason to doubt anything he's ever done. And here they are weeping, and this is us, brother. This is us weeping and doubting, and our Lord being so kind and gracious and long-suffering. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved them. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Now, even these are some elect Jews that he's going to say. Now, they're even saying the same thing. All of them had this unbelief. And he's doing this for every one of his people involved here. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And how quickly we go from believing the Lord. Lord, I believe thou art the Son of God. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? I think I need to print that out right there. Put it up everywhere my eyes meet throughout the day. Said I not that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Oh, Lord, help us get that. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, see, in all of this, Christ waited to teach those he loved to believe him, to trust him, to believe his word. That's what he was doing right here. He was waiting so that it was good and obvious that Lazarus was dead. So they all got to see their unbelief. And our Lord spoke the word and said, believe on me. And he's going to show them his glory through faith in him. The only way we'll see that is through faith in him. He is the resurrection and the life. Christ in you is the hope of glory, because Christ is the life. He's the resurrection. He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Our Lord said he liveth right now, and he'll never die. He'll never see death. He has life. We're talking about Christ the life. He is the resurrection and the life. Faith is a gift that he gives you by his grace, where he makes you to believe on him and you have life through him. But by making us wait in his time and bringing us through, leading us the whole way, bringing us to something so sorrowful as a brother who died and who you love, and something so hard to go through, and making us wait and believe that he is life, that he will bring us through this, and then him doing it and making us see his glory in it, that's how he not only sustains our faith, that's how he grows our faith to keep trusting him more. And we'll trust ourselves less. He promised Isaac children. He said, I'm going to give you children more than the stars in the sky. Promised Isaac and Rebekah that. I'm going to give you children more than the stars in the sky. But Rebekah was barren. And Isaac and Rebekah waited. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And the Lord, in the meantime, Ishmael, the one that God told Abraham to cast out, Isaac's brother Ishmael had 12 sons who grew up to be princes. Isaac sitting there with Rebekah, they don't have a child. Waiting and waiting and waiting. And then in time, after 20 years passed, God put life in Rebekah's womb and brought forth a child. And here's the truth of the matter. All those sons that Ishmael brought forth, God doesn't say anything about them. But that one he produced named Jacob, he said, Jacob have I loved. Jacob have I loved. And he did it according to his promise. Why did he wait all that time? Why did he wait? Same reason he waited till Lazarus was dead to go to this tomb right here. You know where we're going to believe him? He had to make it apparent to everybody there that nobody could do what he did but him. And they believed on him. Isn't that our gospel? What are we preaching? Why is it so hard for men to believe the gospel? Because Christ does what no sinner can do. That's why. But he does it this way, and God saves this way to teach us that he's the only one that can do it. This is the only way he can bring you to believe on him and trust him, is to make you see he's the one who does what no man can do. He's the one who came forth and made his people righteous. He's the one who put away the sin of his people forever by one offering that he made on the cross. He's the one who calls his people affectionately and is able to keep his people and bringing us through every hill and valley and crooked place and rough place and joy and sadness and all these things he's bringing us through. He keeps teaching us he's the only one that can do this work and keep you believing him. And that's how he keeps you believing him. Just like he did right here. That's why he waits for it. That's why he brings you into something like this and just waits. He just waits. Well, thirdly, by waiting, he makes us behold his glory. He really makes us behold his glory by waiting. He not only sustains our faith and grows our faith and teaches us, if you will believe me, I'm the life, I'm the resurrection, I'm the one keeping you, I'm your life. But he also shows us the glory in that, shows us his glory. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? And when he had thus spoken, look down at verse 43. When he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. I'm going to tell you something. I guarantee you that Mary and Martha, that was beyond anything they expected was going to happen right there. He raised their brother from the dead. He'd been dead 4 days. He brought him out with a word and said, come forth, and brought him out. Brought him out. Christ entered covenant from the foundation of the world. He gave his word from the foundation of the world that he would come forth and redeem his people. And he waited. And he waited a long time. But when the fullness of time was come, when the exact time came, Scripture says God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Did he do it? He did it. He did it. He said he would. And he did it just like he said he would. That's his glory. He finished the work. He's the righteousness of his people. And before this world was made, God foreordained that everyone that God chose in Christ, each one that Christ redeemed, the Lord was going to send them the Spirit of God because of the blood of Christ that justified us, and was going to give us faith to believe him. And he waited. He waited. But in time, he sent the gospel to you. And because you're sons, because you are sons, not to make you sons, because you are sons from eternity in Christ, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ sent this gospel and said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he did, you arose from the dead. Life. By the power of his redeeming blood, by the power of his gospel, by Christ the power himself. As the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And this is how it is throughout the life of faith, brethren. Christ renews our inner man continually, teaching us to trust him and believe him. And as you believe him, he always works it out to reveal his glory in a way that is beyond what you and I ever would have thought he could do. I'm telling you, that is so. That is so. God's people never end up disappointed. That's so. Think about it. Have you? Every time you look back, and now it's painful, it's suffering when you go through it. But when he gets finished, he said, if you'll believe me, you're going to see my glory. And it keeps you believing him. And you see his glory. And seeing his glory. Did it turn out good for him? Turned out good for him. Lazarus came forth, didn't he? That's how he always works it, brethren. And he's teaching us
that he's our life and believe and trust him, we're going to see his glory. And one of these days, he's coming back again. He's coming again. And whenever he brings you to that time, we're just waiting right now is what we're doing. He's waiting. We're waiting on him. And he's going to bring you to that hour that he appointed before this world made. And either this body's going to die or he's coming again. One of those two are going to happen. But if this body dies, you know what's going to happen? He's going to call your spirit to be with him just like that. Just like that. And then when he comes back, he's going to call our bodies and bring our corruptible body out of the grave and give us an incorruptible body conformed like unto his image, and we'll be with him in glory forever. It's all by the word of him speaking, Lazarus, come forth. He calls your name personally and says, come forth. And he brings you forth. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that lives and believes in Christ shall never die. That's what Christ said. And he's waiting until we have no strength, absolutely no strength in ourselves, to show us his glory in doing the work. That's what he said. That's what Paul said. This suffering we go through, Paul said, is that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That's why. Do you ever sometimes think there's no possible way you could believe the gospel right now if it wasn't for Christ keeping you all this time? You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him. That's the truth. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man's renewed day by day. Because he's the life, and he's showing us by our weakness that he's our strength. So that with Paul we say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord. What does that mean? They that wait on the Lord. It's just what our Lord said in our text. Said I not, if thou will believe, you'll see his glory. Those that wait on the Lord. Those that wait on the Lord. He's just going to try faith. He's always going to try our faith. He's always going to try our faith. And teach us where we've been, where we've sinned, where we haven't trusted him, where we've looked to our wisdom. Lord, that's not a good idea to go there. And he's going to keep you looking to him, believing him, and he's going to show you his glory. In the face of our weakness, they that wait on the Lord shall renew strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now here's the last thing. By waiting, this is why it's so good. The Lord doesn't only bless just his disciples. He didn't just bless his inner circle. He didn't just bless Martha. He didn't only bless Mary. He didn't only bless Lazarus. He didn't only bless his elect Jews. He didn't only bless some Gentiles that heard about it, some strangers. By waiting to let them all get gathered up into that tomb to where it was obvious he's the one doing the work. And they all sitting there weeping and can't do a thing about it. By waiting like he did. Every single one of his chosen people in that group, he blessed them. Every one of them. Look here. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. All his disciples were blessed. All Mary, Martha, Lazarus were blessed, and there was many Jews that had come there, and they were all blessed too. Why? Because he waited. That's why he waited. He waited till they all got good and gathered up there, and that's why he waits. The life of a believer, think about this. The life of a believer is made up of waiting on the Lord. That's really the life of the believer. Now, the disciples were waiting as they went with him to Bethany. Mary and Martha were waiting as they believed him that they were going to see his glory. Waiting is not doing nothing. Waiting is doing something. Waiting is trusting and looking to the Lord. Doing whatever He's put in your hand to do until He does what He's going to do. You're just waiting on Him, following Him, trusting Him. It's waiting on Him. And here's the four things we saw. By the things we suffer, Christ is teaching us to look to Him alone. He's teaching us to deny ourselves, to lay down our will, even as Christ did for His people. He's conforming us to Him, to trust Him and obey Him and lay down our life at His feet. Not taking it into our hand. Lord, it's not wise to go down there. We're not doing that. No, Lord, if we're going to die with You, we're going to die with You. Number two is teaching us to believe His Word. He's our life. He's our life. The only reason we have life right now is He is our life. We believe Him. He's our life. Thou hast the words of eternal life. He sustains that life. And He's showing us His glory. All of this is His glory. He alone is the power of God. He alone is the righteousness, the wisdom, the sanctification, the redemption. He's showing us His glory. He said not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. And it's going to end. We're seeing it, little glimpses of it as we go, as He's leading us all the way. But one day, we're going to see it in a full splendor. We're going to see His glory. See His glory. And He's waiting that He might bless each and every one of His people. Every one of His people. Every one of His people. I don't care what the situation is. If we're at a place where we grow impatient, we feel like, well, this should be moving along a little further. And it just, I'm going to have to do something, move it along. Just whatever you do, don't try to move it along. The Lord can move it along. But do this. Just know this. He's still got some people He's working on. He's still blessing the hearts of some of His people. And He's not going to finish up till He's blessed them all. Just like He won't finish this whole thing up until He's called every one of His sheep to Him and brought us to faith in Him. And then He's coming back. And every little curve in the journey on the way down, if we hadn't reached the straight stretch where it's just smooth sailing and a beautiful view, it's because He's still teaching somebody through this curve. And He's going to bring them through the curve. He's picking up the lambs and carrying them in His bosom and carrying those that are with young. And He'll get it done. But He's going to make sure all His people are blessed in the process. That's just so, brethren. That's just so. He does all this because He loves His people. Go to Isaiah 30. I'm going to end with this. You know I preached from this a couple of times and referenced it a couple of times. I love this passage. Isaiah 30, verse 18. You know, they wouldn't wait on the Lord. They went to Egypt. So the Lord waited. Now look what He said, why He did it. Verse 18. Therefore will the Lord wait. Just like our Lord waited 2 days, waited till Lazarus died. Therefore the Lord will wait, that He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord's a God of judgment. Blessed, happy are all they that wait for Him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. He said, if you believe, you'll see. You'll see My glory. You'll see. Believe Him. Believe Him. Trust Him. This is why. These are some reasons why our Lord waits right here. All right, Brother Art.